What's up, guys? It is Monday, March 11th, 2024, NBA OB Daily Podcast. I am your host, as always, Adam Martin, joined by my co-host here, Mr. Big Marcel, and we are going to be recapping UFC 299, which was a pretty epic card, which you expected. It was turned out to be a pretty damn good card itself. Looking forward to recapping this card with you, Marcel. We'll also talk a little bit about that PFL card, which was kind of controversial, and then we can touch on the Nagano and Joshua fight as well. Marcel, how's it going, man? How are you?
Doing well, man. It's early for me today, you know. Normally it's like 11. Now it's 10. It's like daylight savings time. Is that yours, right? Over here, it's not until March 30th. So it's just weird, you know. I always hate those times when it happens, because not with the podcast, but just in general, you know. Now I have to think, like, if I do Eastern time, I have to think plus 5. You know, I normally have to think plus 6. You know what I mean? So.
It's going to change at the end of the month again, but I'm glad we figured it out yesterday.
Yeah.
We had a reminder for our buddy Glenn here, who's, of course, the first in the chat, as always. What's up, Glenn? Time Collectibles here, TG. What's up, guys? Glad to have you guys here. So, two podcasts, as always, on Monday. We're going to recap UFC 299. The first podcast that we'll preview, UFC Vegas 88, Tuivasa versus Tabura, the second podcast. I want to give a shout-out to our boy, Fight Talk Only, for the artwork, as always. Glenn's got to give him a shout-out. A couple other comments here from Antoine. What's up, Antoine? Doing well, man. Glad to have you here. Let's get into it, Marcel. Might as well not waste any time. Yeah. UFC 299, we got a lot to talk about here, guys. Let's start with, the picks. I mean, another great night for me, guys. 11-3 in my picks. I've just been killing it this year. It's been a really good – this is like probably the best year I've had for picks. And I got the main event, right? So I don't know if Claudio was going to be in the chat today. Claudio, I got the main event, and I got the 5-round co-main event too. So definitely a nice little bonus there. Again, Poirier is a big underdog there, Marcel. But overall, a good night for picks. Let's start with the main event, Marcel. We both had Sean O'Malley. I had him by decision. You had him by knockout. Honestly, Marcel, this is how I thought it would play out, because Chios is so tough. Because that knee that he ate, I think it was the third round, I want to say. Second round? Yeah, that would have knocked out most fighters, right? Mm-hmm. I think. So it just shows you how next level tough Chito is. Like, he really is one of the most durable guys probably to ever step in the UFC. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to get knocked out. He's crazy tough, but O'Malley, just an epic performance here. 230 significant strikes landed. Amazing performance. He won a bonus. Well-deserved. The card did $14 million at the gate. So the UFC made a shitload of money on this card. They gave out extra bonuses, which was nice. But yeah, Sean O'Malley looked amazing. Give me your thoughts on his performance.
Great performance, man. I think, even Chito, his best round was round number 4, I think, and even in that round, O'Malley was better, you know. So It was like it was a blowout, five rounds for O'Malley. I think one judge gave one 10-8 round. I then saw 10-8 round. I think it was just on 10-9, but just convincing 10-9s, in my opinion. Good win, but hey, man, listen, we all expected O'Malley to win, you know, to be really honest. So a lot of people are like, nah, now we can say he's legit. Listen, we all knew he was good and he's legit, mm-hmm. You know. He still needs to fight the actual number one contenders in the division, you know. It's good that he rematched Chito and that he got his revenge. I'm happy for him, but we all knew he should have fought Merab last weekend, mm-hmm. You know. And even though it was Merab, should have been Corey Sandhagen. So for me, it's still like it was a great performance. I will not take that away from him. He looked really good, but he needs to fight number one contenders in the division, man. You know, I think it's very important. And we'll see what's going to be next. You know, and but like you said, very very good. You cannot say anything bad about his performance, because it was really good. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you looked amazing. There's no doubt about it. Now, he's definitely pissing people off though, because of what he's talking about. As far as his next opponent, which obviously should be Merab, but now he's saying he wants to fight Ilia Topuria. And now today, I think he was saying he wants to fight Floyd Mayweather. So he's looking for those money fights, Marcel. And you know what it's kind of saying to me, Marcel? He's not a guy that's going to be around for the long haul. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to stick around, you know, until he's 40 years old fighting in the UFC. He's 29. I think he's got a couple of years left. I think he's making a shitload of money. He's going to make as much as he can, but he doesn't seem like a guy that wants to be around for long haul. And I respect that, because this is a sport where you want to, you know, get in and get out. And I think Ilia Topuria was saying something similar. He's like, I got a couple of years left. So these younger guys are champions, are amazing fighters. They don't want to take as much damage as the older veterans have. I think they're learning from those guys that were the legends and pioneers of the sport. So that's kind of what the thought I'm getting from it is he's trying to get the biggest fights possible right now. the biggest fight right now was Vera, I think. He didn't deserve it, though. Vera did not deserve this title shot. It was actually bullshit he got the title shot. It should have been Rob. Marab should get the next title shot, but I have a feeling he's not going to fight him, Marcel. I'm a feeling they're going to do different fight. Go ahead.
I'm happy that Topuria is from Georgia as well, because he's from Georgia, he's like, you should fight Marab first. And because Marab is
fighting Marab. I mean, that's the fight that makes sense. And I think the odds came out. I think Marab's the favorite, right?
Yeah. He's like -220.
Or now it's 220. Jesus. So, yeah. I mean, I get that, but I think Sean is really good too, you know, and I think people have slept on him a little bit. Right, like when he fought Peter Yan, he was underdog. When he fought Sterling, I think he was underdog against Sterling, right? So
Adam, the problem is that I still think he didn't beat Peter Yan. You know what I mean? And Sterling, he beat him. He finished him. But the thing is, like with Marab, I think it can go both ways. You know, I think Marab will go for takedowns and keep going for takedowns. You know, but Sean can catch him. You know what I mean? Marab has been catched before by Moraes, by Cejudo in the first round. You know. And I think if he catches him, he can finish him. So, I mean, it can go both ways. So it's still, people are like, Marab is going to absolutely destroy him. I don't think so, man. I think it will be kind of a 50-50 fight. It can go both ways. But if Marab is able to get him down, yeah, I think Marab will win probably, you know. But if he struggles to get him down, I mean, Sean is a much better striker, you know.
Yeah, the odds opened up today. So it was Marab -155, O'Malley +135, and then Topuria -285, O'Malley +245. Again, I think they're sleeping on Sean. He's a really good fighter.
If he fights Topuria, he gets destroyed. I tell you right now.
The punching power difference.
Maybe. Yeah, he gets absolutely destroyed, and not just on the ground, but also on the feet. I tell you right now.
They're both hard fights. I mean, there's no easy fight. I think, you know, I think Corey Sandhagen's a great fighter, but I feel like Corey's, you know, an easier fight for Sean, you know. Mm-hmm. But Corey's probably going to fight Umar next, which, again, it's not fair. I mean, the sport's not fair. You know, Corey goes out there and washes Chito and has to fight Umar now, while Chito gets a title shot, gets gifted one. So
the funny thing is Corey even calling out Umar, you know, so he doesn't really give a shit. He's like, let's fight Umar. Umar's like, yeah, sure, why not?
I know. I think that's going to happen. I still think it's going to be like, I know they're saying International Fight Week, but I think it makes more sense as main event for the Saudi Arabia card or Abu Dhabi. That's what I think. That fight needs to be five rounds.
Either in Saudi Arabia or Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, it'll be a five round fight night, exactly. All right, let's get some comments, guys. Thanks for analysis. He had MVP and Blaze. Good job. But yeah, I had Blaze there. After seeing how good is distance management and speed, can he beat Marab? I think he can beat Marab. I'm not picking him right now. I wouldn't go out here and pick him, but I think people are sleeping on Sean O'Malley. Like they've slept on him a lot in his career. The guy's a good fighter, man. Give him his credit. He's really good. He's really fucking good, Marcel. O'Malley standing is an amazing fight. Go ahead. Sorry. Please go ahead.
He definitely is, man, but he has to fight the top contenders to be like, listen, this fight didn't make sense at all. And there's no disrespect to Vera here, you know, because I was happy for Vera. He got his title shot, but it shouldn't happen, you know. That's the thing. And that's
I get what you're saying, but like, I feel like, you know, we're not giving him the credit because he knocked out Sterling, who was the champion, and he beat Peter Yan on paper. Again, that fight could have gone either way, man.
I give him credit for the Sterling fight, you know, that was a good knockout. I'm not going to give him credit for the Yan fight because he didn't win against Yan. It's that simple. Ask 100 people in the room who won. And even, listen, let them watch. Ask the fighters actually who they think won. You know, everybody says Yan won. Only his family members and the hardcore O'Malley fans think he won. You know?
You know, again, so, I'm going to put that hat on right now that the devil's advocate hat. I'm just looking at the stats. I mean, he outlanded him in that fight. So, I mean, if it's damage-based, then you could see why the judges went that way. But again, Marcel, you have three different judges that day. Two of them could have went easily Peter Yan. I think I scored it for Yan, too. I'm pretty sure I did. I just didn't think it was that big of a robbery compared to a lot of people. That's all, you know?
I don't say it's a robbery, but it was, like, really convenient for the UFC. A lot of those close fights are convenient for the UFC somehow. Very convenient.
Patty Pimblett and Jerry Gordon.
Exactly. Yeah, it's another one.
Let's get some more comments, guys. UFC gave him a winnable fight. Yeah, I agree. Sean and Ilya both defended belt three times, I think it would be massive. Yeah, it may be huge, but again, are these guys going to stick around that long? I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to get in and get out, get their money and get out. What's up, Joe? Glad to have you here, man. I think Marab knows he'll destroy him, and he isn't ready for 145. Or I think he knows Marab will destroy him. He isn't ready for 145. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. What's up, FG? Go ahead.
The Vic, I know I want to know who that one guy is who scored it for O'Malley.
Yeah, again, like I think what Marcel said, I mean, I think probably 9 of 10 people would say Young won the fight, you know? But again, the only thing that matters is the judges. You know what, though? I think, like, again, we have to move on from that. It was 2 years ago.
Yeah, but the problem is he got a title shot out of that. You know what I mean?
He won the title and he knocked the champion out. So
yeah, absolutely. Of course. Scrub, but, you know? But still, you shouldn't get a title shot out of that. No. You know?
No. And Chito didn't. Okay, I think Chito's title shot's way worse, though. I think it's.
Yeah,
way worse.
He
just lost. I thought he lost to Munoz. I thought, and he definitely lost to Corey Sandhagen.
Yeah, I thought the Munoz fight was super close, man, and I could have gone Munoz's way. Yeah.
Do you want to see verified Peter Yan? Is that the fight you want to see next?
Right now, yeah. I mean, makes the most sense, pretty much, you know, because Piotr has fought a lot of guys in the top already, and he hasn't fought Chito yet. And it's a fight they both wanted for a long time. I think even Piotr Yan called him out after the fight, you know, during the O'Malley-Vera fight. He was like, give me Chito next. Yep. Do it, man. Why not? You know?
I think it's a good fight, and it's a 5-round main event, too. Yeah. You know, it's... they could do that one in Abu Dhabi, I guess. I mean, they could. I don't know. Or maybe just in Vegas. They could just do it there. I don't know. I think that's a good fight. They were robbed against Sandhagen. I mean, that was... Yeah, I know you're joking, so... But that was horrible. What would your betting odds be for O'Malley Yan rematch? Ooh, I mean, it's got to be close to like a pick'em, Marcus. I think it would be close to a pick'em. I mean, Yan looked pretty good in this fight, but, you know, he... I'll tell you right now. I mean, I wish his fight was 5 rounds with Song. We'll talk about him in a second. Okay. That's anything else you want to say about the main event, or you want to move on?
No, I'm good.
All right. Let's move on to the co-main event. Man, one of my better predictions in a while. I mean, I like I said, Marcel, it's just been a really good year of predictions for me. I feel really confident in my ability to break down the fights right now. I know I got some of those main events wrong, guys, but like I feel really good about my ability to break down fights, and this one I broke down perfectly. You know. Just the 5 rounds, just the experience in a fight that went deeper. And it was only second round, I get that. But, like, Benoit Saint-Denis just really didn't pace himself here. And, again, Marcel, like, I really look back at that fight with Elijah Lusky de Santos where he just got pieced apart. And I think a lot of people forgot about that fight. And, you know, stepping up from Favola, Moises, Bonfim, these guys to fight Poirier, y'all must have forgotten. I mean, Poirier is still one of the best in the world. He looked amazing. Obviously, after, you know, he got beat up pretty good in the first round, but, you know, second round looked amazing with that knockout. Gets the bone. Well, I guess they got fight of the night, actually. I kind of feel the UFC should give him a double bonus, Marshall. I don't know about you. I think he should have got 2 bonuses, personally. But fight of the night, I mean, clearly, it was the most exciting fight in the card. Benoit's got to learn from this. He has to pace himself better because he did hurt Dustin a lot in this fight, but he just didn't pace himself well. And Dustin obviously, you know, gets a huge knockout win. It kind of saves his career in a way. And Marcel, now they're talking about fucking a title shot for this guy, which I don't agree with. And this is someone who picked him and bet him, right? Like, I just don't agree with him getting a title shot. he just lost a gate, just got head kick knocked out. That would be such a slap in the face to Justin. But again, it's not past the UFC to do this. Dustin is a legend. You know, it is a fresh fight with Islam. And Islam's on Twitter now saying he wants to fight Dustin. You know why, Marcel? Because honestly, that's an easy fight for him. Let's be completely honest. And I love Dustin, but Islam, that is a bad match. That's a brutal matchup. Islam should be like minus 400 in that fight. You know, Islam would probably submit Dustin Poirier. Like, he's way better than Benoit Saint-Denis, who had him in tons of trouble. Dustin has a puncher's chance, but I that's a terrible fight for him. I was happy to see Dustin win this fight. I love the guy. I thought he showed up in fucking great shape for this fight. When I saw the weigh-in, I felt even better with my pick. I'm like, damn, this guy really trained well for this fight. I think Benoit is a stud too. I think he's a guy that's clearly a top 10 fighter. But again, this was just too big of a step up, Marcel, I think. Too big of a step up too soon. So I don't know what you want to say about this fight. I'll give you your thoughts on it. Go ahead.
So, sounds like excuses, you know, but I kind of believe him, man, what Benoit say on his Instagram and Twitter.
What do you say?
He's like, I only had gas for 5 minutes, he said. He's like, I couldn't go any further. I'm full in antibiotics the last couple of weeks with the staph infection he had.
Yeah.
And he said I went full blast in the first round. And he's like, after the first round, I was done. He's like, I was completely out of it, you know. So I kind of believe him with that. At the same time, I don't, and that takes away from Dustin, which I don't want to do because I think he did amazing. He came back. The first round was really dominant by Benoit, but he came back amazing in the second round, you know. He tagged him Then he landed another shot and he knocked him out. You know, was a beautiful knockout. And yeah, I mean, Dustin proved that he still belongs with the elite in the division, I think, you know. Great win. I agree with you. Shouldn't get a title shot out of it. Definitely not because Dana has said that Charles Armin winner gets to fight Islam next, you know. Yeah. Gaethje is fighting Max Holloway. The thing is, they are both on the same card, you know. So if Gaethje gets an amazing win on Holloway, I don't say it's happening, but imagine he gets an amazing knockout win over Holloway, you know. And let's say or Charles Armin do an amazing win against each other, then you have two contenders there, you know. And Dustin is still behind that, in my opinion, you know. So what I think is, like, it depends on what happens with Justin and with Max, you know. Listen, if Max wins against Justin, you have less a problem, you know. You can do the winner of Charles Armin against Islam, and you can do the loser of Charles Armin against Poirier, in my opinion. But I don't think Poirier is yet there in the title shot, definitely because he lost to Justin, you know, in August last year or in July or whenever that was. Yeah. So I don't know what I should do. You know, there are other options as well on the top of the division, I think. But a title shot is not there right yet, in my opinion. But you never know what the UFC is going to do, you know. If Dustin is like, I want it, and Islam is like, I want it, and the timeline is there, and they need the title fight, you never know what they're going to do. So, you know.
I wouldn't put it past them, especially because Islam seems they want this fight. Ali Abdelaziz, who probably tweets for Islam, wants to fight. Adam been on fire. I sure have, man. Crazy. That was the last 200 card. I know. It's really crazy, man. Would have been easier to stop pulling the guillotine. I mean, he says he's never going to stop pulling the ghillie. But, yeah, I mean, as someone who picked him, I'm like, why is he pulling ghillie every 5 minutes? It's a crazy thing. Dustin's better position to fight Islam next over Gaethje, knocked him out. It's not crazy because it's probably what's going to happen, to be honest with you, Marcel.
It's actually funny because probably both Gaethje and Max are now like, fuck, we shouldn't have signed for this BMF title because Max probably would have fought Poirier next.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. They both got fucked almost in a way. It's crazy, right? I mean, they still could get title shot, but I have a feeling it's gonna be Dustin. And the winner of Armand and Charles is gonna fight the winner of Gaethje and Holloway, probably. Dustin and Fiziev. I mean, it's a good fight, but he's not gonna fight Fiziev. And Fiziev's injured anyway, so he's not gonna fight him. Do not see Charles Gaethje and Armand will be healthy to make a quick turnaround to fight, and Gene Poirier be healthy, and Poirier is almost big for money. Yeah, I mean, I think it could headline or co-headline that card.
I'm not really interested in that fight, to be really honest, man. I don't mind if they do it, but it's like, like you said, man, I think Islam is a massive favorite to win that fight.
Yeah, he would be. He would be like -400 or something like that. All right, let's go to the next fight here. Michael Page defeats Kevin Holland. It was kind of, I don't know. I didn't think this fight was that great. Page, you know, we talked about last week. The more I was thinking about this fight, I'm like, he could probably just like make it boring and kind of outpoint him. And that's what he did. Second round, Holland had his neck for like a brief second, and that was pretty much it. Holland looked really frustrated in this fight. I did like Page's entrance personally. I thought it was cool with the Undertaker thing. I know some people didn't like it. I thought it was cool. Holland just kind of gave up in this fight a little bit more. So it wasn't going his way, and he just kind of quit a little bit on himself. I think it was a winnable fight. It was 1-1 heading round three, and he just didn't do anything in the third round. So judges got it right. I've got to give the judges credit. They got every decision right in this card. They got every decision right, which I was worried about in Florida, but I didn't disagree with anything they did. So, anything quickly on this fight?
Bro, what the fuck was Holland doing? You know? What was he doing? After first round, he got pretty much pieced up in the first round. You know? Second round, he finally got him down. And he controlled him there, man. And he landed elbows and punches on the ground. Yeah. And it was like, good, you know. Now he has him to the ground. He goes, he takes him down in the third round as well. He takes some shots before he takes him down. He didn't, you know. This was like, listen, man, you know, I like Kevin Holland. He's great. But this for me is like the proof that Kevin Holland will never be a champion in the UFC, you know, because his fight IQ isn't as good as I thought it was, you know. I thought that he would be, and who am I to talk actually, but I thought he would be smart enough, you know, to, if you cannot strike with MVP, take him the fuck down, because MVP sucks on the ground, you know. He absolutely sucks on the ground. He's a fun fighter, stand up, you know, he's super flashy, but he fucking sucks on the ground, you know. So yep. I was surprised that Kevin Holland went with the striking in the third round after he clearly got the better of him on the ground in the second round, you know. And yeah, MVP won the fight. And now people are like, oh, we should match him up against Stephen Thompson. Fuck out of here.
You know? That's a good fight.
Why? Because again...
Well, you need to be boring. No, is that what you think?
No. We're going to give him, again, a striker. Fuck off with that, you know? You come to the UFC, give him a fucking wrestler. You know? I'm done with this bullshit.
I don't think they will. I think they're going to give him, like, Jeff Neal or something.
Of course they're not going to do that. Yeah. You know, of course they're not going to do that. But you come to the... He's been protected by Bellator for 10 years he's been protected, you know?
Sure.
And now he comes to the UFC, we protect him again with giving him only strikers. Now, fight a fucking wrestler. I'm fucking done with it, you know? You're at the upper echelon of the sport, you know? You should fight wrestlers as well. You should fight Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys as well, you know?
Sure.
And not only strikers. And they're going to give him fucking Wonderboy, I'm sure, because Wonderboy will take that fight because Wonderboy also wants to fight strikers, you know?
Yep.
And he wants to... they're going to give him that. And then they're going to slowly build him up to that top five, you know? And then it's like a 50-50 chance. If he beats somebody in the top five, he gets a title shot. I fucking hate that shit, you know?
I know that Thompson told, like, James Lynch that he didn't want to fight him, but I think that, you know, money talks, and that's the fight they'll make, I think, so... the Gaethje Holloway. I mean, they just announced them. They announced the card. It's on the card. Gaethje and Holloway. Yeah. Holland's very low IQ. I don't feel sorry for anyone but Hoff. We saw Thompson. I mean, Marcus, you've called it since the beginning. This fight IQ was questionable. Let's go. Marcel couldn't agree. Damon said in the post fight, we have to match up MVP carefully. Yeah, because they want to give him strikers, like Marcel said. Like, they wouldn't give him Sean Brady, right? They wouldn't give him
exactly.
They might give him Gilbert Burns, maybe, because Burns just got knocked out. Maybe. We'll talk about that in a second.
Listen, but... Adam, I don't mind him fighting strikers, but it shouldn't be like Taylor made for him to only fight strikers in the UFC and to rise up in the division. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he's going to be ranked after tomorrow, you know? Mm-hmm. If he's not ranked and he only fights strikers, I don't care. You know, but when you're in the top 15, you shouldn't have to handpick your opponents. And we all know the UFC is going to do that because they like the style, they like the flashiness, and they know if they're going to match them up with a wrestler or a Sean Brady, who's really good on the ground, Sean Brady's going to take him down and he's going to hold him down and he's going to win the decision, or he's going to submit him. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, and you know, I don't like that. And that's also why I always are against those UFC hype trains and that kind of stuff, because the UFC always does that, you know, and Bellator did that as well. You know, they're protecting certain fighters, and fighters shouldn't be protected, in my opinion, you know, definitely
fair.
Not at the highest, at the highest level of the sport, you know?
Yeah, no, these aren't prospects. I mean, Michael's 36. So
listen with Raul Rosas Jr. Dude is 19 or 18 now. I understand that. That's different. Yeah. Michael Van Page is fucking 35 or 36. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's give him all the credentials in the world, right?
Yeah.
anyways, it's go on to the next fight. Jack Della Maddalena. I think we both called him, right? I'm pretty sure we did. I had him by knockout, and it was sketchy. It was a close fight, but
how you scored?
1-1 heading in the third.
Yeah, me too. What the fuck, those judges?
Oh yeah, the judges. Two of them had a 2-0 Burns. I can't believe it. Unbelievable, man. And then if it went to the scorecards, it would have been a split decision for Burns. That's crazy to me. He needed to get a finish and got it, man. I mean, Jack's a special fighter. You know, I think he's one of the better prospects. Obviously, he got taken down 7 times. The takedown defense sucks. That's the problem, right? I mean, we saw against Basil Hafez. He got taken down, you know, 3 times in that fight, but 7 times in this fight. But again, you know, fought all the positions, got back up every time, and in the third round, exploded with that knee and then knocked out Burns. And Burns, man, he wasn't even getting up. The referee fucked him in this fight. It was a Big Dan. Yeah, Big Dan. Late stoppage, right?
Very late. Yeah.
I think Jack's great, though, man. 7 straight wins in the UFC. I mean, that's pretty amazing. 4-5 bonuses. And he's beaten, you know, a top 10 guy now. And they called out Shavkat Rakhmonov. I mean, you have to respect it, right? He calls out the toughest guy in the division. I mean, that's fucking him. Like, no one's calling out Shavkat. Doesn't seem like Leon Edwards wants to defend him too much. And this guy goes and says, I want to fight Shavkat. That being said, Shavkat beats him. I mean, Shavkat submits him, probably. I would assume. But I respect the fuck out of him for saying it, man. I mean, I think even Shavkat said that. He said, hey, I respect this, you know, the call out.
Of course.
I don't think they do that fight. I mean, but they might, because
they'd be stupid not to.
They might, because Bilal should honestly get the title shot, right? He should.
Adam, they'd be stupid not to, you know? They have nobody.
He's a guaranteed contender, right? Like, it's going to be good. So.
They have nobody to fight Shavkat. Nobody wants to fight Shavkat. Let's be honest, you know? No, only the guys who are really down or under Shavkat likely want to fight him because they have the chance to get up to him. Yeah. But Jack has been the guy, even before the fight, who was saying, if I win this fight, I want to fight Shavkat.
And he's going to – he just beat number four in Shavkat's place, so it makes sense, right? And then give him the
fight, and you go Jack is pretty much the Corey Sandhagen of the welterweight division. He picks the most difficult challenges.
Yeah, you know? I love it, man. I love guys like this. I mean, and you know, again, Shavkat would be like, you know, a big favorite in that fight, like 3-1 favorite probably or something like that. But you know, Jack's got a puncher's chance, and he does, right? So
for sure. And the winner of that fight can fight the winner of Leon against Bilal.
They could probably do the same card, do it as the co-main event. You could even do it for 5 rounds.
Yeah.
And I respect the call a lot more than like Ian Gary calling a Colby Covington, a guy who's washed up. I mean, honestly, I respect this call way more. I don't blame Ian for calling a Colby, but you're calling a guy who's washed up, like basically. This guy's calling out literally the best guy in the division right now, aside from the champ, probably. Actually, Shavkat would be favored against Leon Edwards, and he would be.
Yeah,
I think he'd be favored against anyone in the division. Yeah.
But I also look at the way Jack came up in the division, and look at the way Ian Gary came up in the division. In a totally different way, you know. I respect Jack so much more, you know. He's like a super quiet guy, a hardworking guy. Ian is a hardworking guy as well, don't get me wrong. But he's a very mouthy dude, you know what I mean? And Jack is just like a quiet guy, and he works hard. And listen, man, if he didn't finish Gilbert, he would have lost. You know, let's be honest, he would have lost. But still, he finished him. Yeah, and it was a fun fight. It was a good fight. So
it was a great fight. And he needed this win, too, because the last two fights, I mean, they weren't convincing, right? They were split decisions. I mean, we thought he won those fights, but, like, you know, it wasn't convincing. The guy's good, though, man. I really like him. So, yeah, I think they should do that fight. And then opening up the main card, we had Piotr Jan defeating Song Yadong. Again, a close fight, 1-1, I thought, heading round three, and then you know, it was close, man, but then he takes him down with about a minute left, grinds him out, and wins the fight. So, Piotr, great win for him, obviously, against the tough guy, Song Yadong. Snaps the 3-fight losing skid. And we already mentioned him earlier. I think Chito Vera makes sense, right?
Bro, I mean, listen, not I don't want to be biased or whatever, and I really like Song, but I was so happy to see Jan win, you know. A guy that good shouldn't be on a 3-fight losing skid, and definitely not on a 4-fight losing skid.
Imagine he lost the third round and he lost 4 straight fights.
Crazy, right? Absolutely crazy. And dude is so good. I still think he's one of the best in the division.
Oh, yeah.
And but I was really scared after the first round because I was like, he really reacted to every feint Song was throwing at him. You know, he was like really hesitant with I think it came through by Marab, you know, by shooting takedowns. He was like really like hesitant, and he didn't look good in the first round. I was like, if he goes to, I actually texted somebody. It's like, I've never seen Jan like this, you know. It's like, what's up with him? And then he finally picked it up, I think like 2 minutes into the second round. And the third round was his, and he even took him down, and then he controlled him more on the ground for the last minute. Yeah, man, fun fight. Song Yadong is also a dog. You know, I faded Song Yadong for a long time, man. I was always like, he's kind of overrated, you know. But he really convinced me in the Ricky Simone fight that I should shut up, you know. And he's a good – I think he come far in the division as well. And he's still super young, man, Song Yadong. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's still like 26, I think, right? He's a good fighter, no doubt about it.
Definitely.
I'm just looking at the rankings. I mean, listen, I like Corey Sandhagen a lot, but Jan should not be ranked below him. It doesn't make sense. He beat him, and he only lost the guys ranked above Corey. That's just stupid. These rankings are so bad. They're just bad. All right, let's get back to the card. I mean, this was a good pick by me, too. He ended up closing an underdog, too. Curtis Blaydes knocks out Jailton Almeida. And I stand by, man. The guy's so one-dimensional, Marcel Jailton. Yeah. He has nothing besides the takedown, and He did like nothing other than hold him down the first round. 9 takedowns. I mean, that's impressive, no doubt. But Curtis, again, you know, really knocked him out with those hammer fists in the second round. What'd you think about this one, man?
Still, man, impressive to dominate Curtis Blaydes in the first round like that, you know. But the thing is, like, you got to do more, you know. And he shot for the takedown again, second round. I think he got uppercut into his chin. And then I think he's keep trying to get the takedown, and Curtis could land those hammer fists, and he did that perfectly. I think this is the time for Jailton to rethink his decision to stay at heavyweight and maybe go back to light heavyweight, you know, because he was good he was dominating the guys, but now you're like at to the upper echelon of the division, This is going to get more difficult. Imagine him fighting Tom Aspinall would have been even more difficult.
He gets knocked out in the first minute of the fight.
Absolutely. So here is the thing. I think he has to reconsider and then go to 205 because at 205, he's a lot bigger, he's always undersized at 265, yeah. 205, I think it's perfect. He can make 205, go to 205. And for Curtis Blaydes, I'm super happy for him. He was far away again from the title shot after his loss to Pavlovich, and now because he has that, that kind of lucky win against Aspinall, he probably gets the rematch for the interim title. And I'm happy for him. And he's likely one of the best heavyweights in the UFC who has never fought for a title or whatever, So
he's good, man. I'm looking at his record, 13-4 and 1-0 contest to the UFC. Yeah. I mean, that is a great record. And most of the wins were by knockout. The guy, and he's a great wrestler. And listen, I picked him against Aspinall the first time. I got lucky there. I would pick Aspinall in the rematch. You picked Curtis the first time too?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got lucky. I mean, let's be honest. But I mean, in the rematch, it's still an interesting fight. I mean, it is. I think they do that as the main event in Manchester. What do you think? Do you think so?
Yeah, but I think that's a fight night, another pay-per-view. So,
oh, it's not? Oh, okay.
No.
All right. Well, so, I mean, it's an interim title. That's heavyweight title, though. I wouldn't do that. Yeah. It would have to be a pay-per-view card, right? It has to be, I think.
I think they probably Yeah, I think they do it at International Fight Week somewhere. I don't think it's a main event, but I think they do it at International
Fight Week. Well, if it's interim, it could be co-main or third fight.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a great fight. I think it makes sense. The rematch makes sense. What's up, Glenbot? How's it going, man? Yeah, happy Curtis. Curtis looked, I mean, it was a great finish. And again, Jailton Marcel, the fight with Lewis just really turned me off of the guy. I mean, he's definitely a good fighter, but like super one-dimensional. He landed one strike in this fight? One strike. He had 4.5 minutes of control, 9 takedowns, and 1 strike.
You know what I really feel about Almeida? I like him a lot, by the way. But I feel like that he's really like hesitant about his striking, And I think he's really afraid to get hit.
He's been knocked out a couple times now, right?
But he's afraid to get hit. You saw how he fought against Lewis,
Yeah.
He doesn't want to get hit, and that's why he fights like that.
Do you think he got fraud checked?
I don't want to say that, man, because the thing is, like, fraud check for me is when you lose to a guy who isn't that great, and I think Curtis Blaydes is actually elite, so I wouldn't really say fraud. I thought when Abus lost to Sean Strickland, he was fraud checked. Sean Strickland happened to become the champion. So it's really difficult. I was actually thinking yesterday about what's a real fraud check? Because people were saying like Benoit Saint-Denis got fraud check. I disagree with that.
I don't know about that.
you got to think about somebody who got a loss against somebody who he should have lost to and isn't that great. You know what I mean? Well, you thought like this is maybe a good fight, but it wasn't. Think about it because it's hard.
It's kind of hard. I mean, but then there's no definition of it really too. So it's kind of a tough one.
A definition for me from fraud check is when you get knocked out by somebody, who isn't actually that amazing, So who got, maybe we could say Ismael Bonfim might be fraud check.
Yeah, that's a great example, actually, when you think about it. But again, Benoit's good too, so.
Yeah, true. So it's
tough. It's tough. You'd have to look
at Gabriel Bonfim against Nicholas Dalby.
Oh yeah, he did lose that fight. Fuck, but if you fade both those Dalby or the Bonfim brothers, man, fuck, you would have made some good money. Yeah, Joe Pfeiffer is an interesting one too. But again, he won the first two rounds and he gassed out. He never had a 5-round fight. So, Marcus, me and you were both on this for a while. I mean, he should be at 205. I mean, let's just be honest. I think at 205, he could do a lot of damage with the wrestling. But again, chin is a huge question mark on this guy. Man, the way he got reacted to getting hit, he's covering up like this. Like, it was not good to see. And I understand, I don't want to get Blaydes blasting me in the head like this. That would suck. But I'm just saying, like, it was just, to me, Marcel, it was kind of a carryover of that Derek Lewis fight where I said, this guy's super one-dimensional. I called it, I saw it, and I saw it again here. I mean, he can get a takedown, but if he doesn't submit you or finish you in the first round, he's kind of not the best fighter after that. So, I mean, I still like Jailton, but I think at 205, he's a better fighter. So.
Well, let's be honest. You were like, after the first round, you're like, fuck, dude, he's going to dominate like the rest.
I still thought it was an interesting fight just because Curtis, he's got. I honestly, Marcel, I think Curtis Blaydes is probably the best heavyweight who's never won the title in the UFC.
I agree.
I mean, he probably is. Like, if you look at his record, if you look at the wins he has, He's maybe the best heavyweight ever to not win a UFC title. It's possible. It's very possible.
That's super unlucky, you know, in certain fights, you know? So, yeah.
I mean, the Derek Lewis fight, he was winning, and then he got caught by the uppercut. Yeah, so, I mean, exactly. It happens, right? Derek Lewis is also, you know, a fun fighter to watch. Anyways, let's – although the last fight was bad with Jailton. No, Jailton's not the most exciting guy to watch. I'll just say that. But, you know, let's go to the next fight here. Macy Barber defeats Caitlin Sermonara decision. This fight was kind of boring to me. I don't know. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I mean, Macy fought it smart, I think, you know, because sure. We all know how Caitlin normally wins the fight. And I think Macy did well, you know. Yeah. She needed this win, in my opinion, to get higher in the division. And she did it. So, I mean, Caitlin Chookagian is like not a really like, how do you say, the entertaining fighter, but she knows how to win fights, you know what I mean? So, and Macy won against her, so good for her. And looking forward to next, not the best fight in the card, yeah.
9-2 in the UFC. I mean, that's a great record. And she's only 25. Like,
she's super young.
She's good. I mean, she's definitely a good fighter. I think she probably needs one more win or two more wins to get the title shot, but she's close. You know, because again, she fought Grosso, it was 29-28 fight. It was close. It was a close fight. Yeah. So yeah, probably needs to get one or two more wins. I still think, you know, that again, this is the problem with the timing, because they just announced Ultimate Fighter. It's Valentina against Grosso in the trilogy. And that fight's, I'm guessing, I know Valentina said today she doesn't want to fight the Sphere, but I think it'll be at the Sphere. So that's in September. So they're going to sit on a full year, which would mean that the winner of Blanchfield and Fiorot probably has to fight again. They'll probably fight the winner of this fight, and they probably shouldn't. They probably shouldn't have to fight Macy.
Did you hear what Shevchenko said today?
She just said she didn't want to fight the Sphere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't – I don't understand. I don't know. They need to find someone to do tough, but, like, I'm just not interested in them being the coaches, really.
I also don't understand it, man. I would have picked Ezra Adesanya against Ricky Suplessy. I think that would
make more sense, especially because really, Drakus is injured too, right?
Get out of here with tough, you know? We don't really need that.
Yeah. Although I want to say, like, there's a guy from Toronto, Tom Theo Karras. He's a Toronto guy. He's on the card. Yeah. I have some friends that trained with him. So, like, when I saw him, I was like, oh, that's awesome. I know who this guy is. So, that's the only redeeming thing for me. Although, you know, he's not amazing. He doesn't have a great record. So
if you could choose him on Tough or him on Dana White Contender Series?
Rather see him on Contender. But they have to get some people to go on Tough. I think they should have killed the show off a few years ago. It's not that intriguing anymore.
They should have killed it off when they started the Contender Series.
Yeah, pretty much. Because, like, I know they found a few good prospects. Like, Brian Battle's pretty good prospect. There's a few other guys. But, like, it's just kind of a redundant show now. So,
yeah.
Let's go back to the card. Matheus Gamrot. Again, I thought this was the easiest pick in the card. Although he got dropped in the first round against Rafael Dos Anjos. I'm like, holy shit, that's not good. But eventually just grinds it away, 11 takedowns. But again, you know, boring, kind of a boring performance by him. You know? I don't think it gets him a title shot at all, you know. And fact, it probably pushes him even farther away, like, because Dustin has elevated himself now, and Armand and Oliveira are above him, and Gaethje's above him. So he's going to have to fight at least probably two more times, I would say, to get title shot.
I would rebook him against Fiziev if Fiziev is healthy.
Yeah, I mean, that was an injury fight. The other fight would be a rematch with Dariush for five rounds this time. I think that would be interesting as well. You know, it's too bad Chandler's not available, because that would be a good fight. Those are the fights I'm looking at right now. He's kind of a tough guy to book, because even this fight, like, they had to fight, he had to fight way down in the rankings, you know, for Chandler's, this fight.
Chandler is unavailable, yeah.
Chandler unavailable, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. I think the Dariush rematch is interesting. Is Dariush booked right now or no?
No, he's not, but do that for three rounds. I don't really need to see that for five.
No. Grinding match, grinding rematch.
We can do three.
Yeah. Strickland versus Gary or Colby. Actually, Strickland would have been great on Tough, to be honest. Colby and Gary too. I kind of feel like Marcus is right, because I hate fucking the titles being held up by the show. I hate it. You know, I've always hated it. And the truth is, guys, how many times throughout the history of that show have the champions, you know, not even ended up fighting, or the coaches never fought? I mean, Connor and Chandler, what is it, 2 years ago now?
They coached. But what I've heard behind the scenes is that both Alexa and Valentina cannot fight earlier because they're still injured. So that's
both still injured. Well, I guess that makes sense then. All right. Felipe Lins defeats Jan Kutalaba by decision. This is actually a pretty good fight, I thought.
We fucked up.
We fucked up on mistake too. I mean, Kutalaba looked pretty bad. I think he's getting caught, right? Would you think so?
I mean, besides his amazing face pain during the weigh-ins, I don't think he looked great. You know, listen, man. Ion Kutalaba is super inconsistent, so you actually never really know, you know. Yeah. And Felipe Lins, I don't think it was spectacular by any means, but it was good on him. You know, he finally seems to have find his way.
In the UFC. I thought he looked good. He looked good in this division. Like, there's no doubt about it. I'll be honest. You know what? You want a fraud check? When he came over from PFL and he lost to Arlovski and Bozer, he got fraud checked, didn't he? I thought so. And now he's really turned it around. So I think your mic's off, by the way. Jan Kutilov is 6-9-1 draw in the UFC. I think Jan's being cut, Marcel.
You hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
I think Jan's being cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michel Pereira defeats Mikhail Oleksychuk. I got it right. I say it properly now. By submission. He looked amazing, too. I mean, talk about a guy who's found his weight class. Michel, 7 straight wins now, 2 straight at middleweight, 3 straight bonuses. His only losses in the UFC are Diego Sanchez in a fight. He was dominating until he threw an illegal knee, and Diego asked the referee if I can't continue, is it a DQ? And they're like, yes. So he's like, I'm not going to fight anymore. And then the other loss was against Tristan Connolly, where he kept doing backflips and gassed himself out. This guy's good, man. He's a good fucking fighter. He needs to get a ranked opponent next, right? Like you'd imagine, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Chris Curtis.
I tweeted like he's a legit contender. I think even
dude, he's one of the more underrated fighters in the UFC right now. People aren't really sleeping on him still. Go ahead.
I gotta be honest. I was like 50-50 on this fight, but you really convinced me actually to go with Pereira. So thank
he's
you for
good,
that,
man. That's why.
Yeah, he really was. He was like he hurt him to the body, and then he climbed on his back and he choked him out. It was like. Very good, very. And listen, man, Oleksychuk isn't an easy guy to finish. You know, he's really good as well. So
and he's so fast in this division too, man. Like he's not cutting all that weight.
I think Pereira made a big mistake to stay so long at 170, man.
Yeah,
185 is perfect. Give him somebody in top 50.
You know when he's supposed to fight Wonderboy last year? How much weight did he say he was cutting? Didn't he say like 30 something
pounds? Know,
or something?
A lot.
40 pounds.
Yeah.
Wasn't it something like that?
Maybe it was a lot.
See what he said because it was like I think 40 pounds he was cutting. Move. Let me see what he says here. I've been cutting weights. Can't make 170. It doesn't say how much weight he was cutting, but yeah. I would imagine he was cutting from like 210 or something like that. I mean, he's a big dude, right? So
yeah.
Look, he got a bonus by the way. All the finishers got bonuses. So I mean, you were happy that Dana actually opened the pocketbooks up a little bit anyways, right?
Of course.
Michelle's definitely a dark horse, even at 185. He is really good, man. Curse and Pereira makes sense, though. I think Pereira's like 13 or 14. Yeah, he's good. If you fought Wonderboy, who are you guys going to pick? I think we both picked Wonderboy, I think. I'm pretty sure. Wonderboy's a harder fight because he's such a good striker, and he's tougher than Oleksychuk, obviously, who got hit to the body here.
Pereira at 170 was not as good as Pereira at 185, to be really honest.
I mean, what he did to Petrosky and now this guy, the last two wins are in what, minute six, a minute one. Yeah,
very impressive.
Impressive. Rebellis to Spain, 18 seconds knocks out Josh Parisian. I mean, Josh Parisian is getting cut. He's 2-5 in the UFC. He's not that good, but
bro.
I mean, this guy's a scary fucker, man.
Yeah, but listen, man. Parisian did everything what he didn't have to do, you know. Rebellis came after him. Rebellis fell to the ground because he was out of balance, you know.
Yeah.
And then Parisian was like, "Oh my god, I can run at him and I can knock him down." So he's running at him and he gets knocked down. I was like, "Dude, what are you doing? That's the only thing you shouldn't do there. You know, somebody would reach like that." So it was a good win. I still think it was an early stoppage, although he was going to get finished anyways. So, I mean,
by the way, I want to tell you something right now. I'm looking at stats right now. There's two things I want to mention. So, first off, they're saying it's 84-inch reach. He was saying 87. They were kept saying longest reach, but 84 they're saying now, which would be John Jones's reach and Stefan Struve's reach, I believe. So, it would tie the longest reach, not the longest. The other thing is they have a different birth date than Tapology. They're saying September 9th, and you guys have August 9th. So, I don't know if you want to change. Rebellis.
Let me see.
The only reason I'm bringing this up is because I was looking at his age, and I'm like, "Oh, this guy's a month before me." Now it's 4 days before me. So UFC stats is saying September 9th. You guys have August 9th. So does Sherdog. So does Wikipedia. So
we probably have it wrong.
I'm imagining it is September 9th. I would guess, but
and we have I understand. They probably switched the day or the birthday and the birth month. Let me see, September 9th, right?
Yeah. What do you have?
Yeah, August 9th. I've changed it right now.
There you go. See, that's why we got Marcel on the podcast. How did Pereira lose to Tristan Connolly? He gassed himself up by doing backflips. It was really stupid. Oh, yeah, Jones 84.5. That's right. Steven's a beast. He sure is. Who are we matching up with next?
some other guy on the in the bottom.
Also, like the bottom of the division right now. Let me take a look.
Probably the winner of Dontale Mays against Caio Machado.
You think so?
Yeah, why not? I mean, you can also do. Who else do we have there? Let me think. Waldo Cortes Acosta, although I think Waldo deserves a fight higher in the rankings. Let me think. Who else? Fill me in on.
I'm looking right now. Austin Lane. I'm looking. Okay, these guys have fights booked. Let me see who doesn't have a fight booked. Everyone has a fight booked, really. Most people have fight books. Most people have a fight booked. Maybe that Thomas Peterson guy.
Yeah.
He just got knocked out. I mean,
or Jamal Pogues.
Who? Pogues. It could be Pogues. Pogues is tough too. Let me ask you a question. An honest question.
Yeah.
Who would be favored right now? Shamil Gaziev or Rebellis to Spain? Who would be favored?
Probably Rebellis, but I'm not sold at all.
I'm not either, but could they do that fight? Because I feel like not a fraud check. You know what? He got fraud checked.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I mean, why not? Would you see it? Would you want to see it?
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, the guy looks so bad that it's like, why not? Another guy, that Handy Adelwahab guy, that guy also doesn't have a fight book.
He comes back after. Yeah, why not?
Beast Boy.
I think they're wrapped by the same.
Oh, man, they should do Rebellis versus Beast Boy. That would be sick, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Do him against Huggy Bear, Chris Barnett. Yeah. That would be good. Yeah. But honestly, I don't mind against Shamil, and I would favor him against Shamil. I mean, I'm off the Shamil bandwagon, guys. I was only on for one fight, and I'm off already.
I saw some crazy Junior Tafa against Rebellis of Spain.
They could. I mean, I think he called out. Oh, he did call Rebellis. He did call him out for Australia. You know what? If he wants to fight him, why not?
I like it. You know, it's two strikers.
It's a good fight. It would be a striking fight, right? And Junior's a good striker. I mean, he is. Mm-hmm. I agree with Marcel's tweet about the number of empty seats early in the fight card. Every UFC I attended, I was in my seat 10 minutes before the first fight. Me too, Marcus, but, you know, it's not always like that.
Especially you know how many actual fighters have retweeted that?
Yeah.
It's great. They're all in agreement. I didn't think that tweet would go that well. So many people retweeted that.
Asu Amabayev defeats CJ Vergar, who missed weight again, by the way. Not three straight, but he's missed weight three times in the UFC now. So, I mean, he's going to be forced to move up, I think.
I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, I had a feeling too. And it was 1 pound. He didn't really seem like he was going to try that hard to make it, which was weird. And they fined him 30% because when you keep missing, they fine you heavier.
Yeah.
Asu looked pretty good. I mean, he didn't get the finish, but he had 9 takedowns, controlled how much time here? Like over 10 minutes? Yeah, 9.5 minutes. So. It wasn't his best performance, obviously, but I mean, he looked good. So,
I think they should match Asu with Sumu Daraji. No, I think that makes sense.
Destroy Sue though. He just takes him down.
But why is he still ranked Sue? You know, I think Cody Durden also called him out today.
Saw that,
and rightly so. You know, Cody Durden should be ranked instead of Sue, in my opinion. You know, Sue has wins against guys who are not in the UFC anymore. So, I don't know why. Asu, good fighter. Like him a lot. Good grappler, obviously. Striking, we haven't seen a lot yet, in my opinion. But, we'll see next. I think he deserves to be fighting maybe somebody in the top 15. Hell, I was thinking, like, give him Charles Johnson, but Charles Johnson is already booked again. So
he's fighting – who's he fighting?
Jake Hatley.
That's a fun fight. And then opening the card up, this was an upset. I didn't pick this one. We got this one. I think we got it wrong, right? We both took Rose.
Yeah, but I was happy for her.
Yeah, I was happy for Joanne. I mean, she clearly won the fight. She split decision my ass. I mean, she definitely won the second and third round. She won that fight. Honestly, man, it was a close fight in the third round. That spinning back fist won the fight. And
Jesus.
Yeah, it was a brutal spinning back fist. It ended her career with a win. Happy to see her get the win. I mean, JoJo's always, you know, been a fan favorite. I'll tell you right now, Marcel. To me, she was someone that should have fought for the belt, never did. Probably one of the better fighters never to fight for the belt. But I think overall, man, 9-8 record is nothing to, you know, be ashamed of. But, like, I still feel like she could have did more with her career. I don't know.
Yeah, her ground game was just not good enough, to add up with top fighters in the division. And she was really like a top level girl at strawweight in the beginning, you know, when the division wasn't as developed as it is now, you know. But then she went also to flyweight, and yeah, she lost to Bedecker. I think she wasn't supposed to fight for a title and then lost to Jennifer Maia instead, and she never fought for a title. She was supposed to fight Shevchenko. I mean, still, I always liked JoJo from the beginning when I saw her fight. I always liked her, and I'm happy she got out with a win. And she avenged that loss to Marina Moroz early in her career.
And she's sticking around the sport. Her husband owns that gym, Cindy, so she'll be around the sport. She said she's going to coach. And, you know, someone did ask her, you know, would you ever fight again? She said no, but then they said, you know, what if you went to Scotland? She's like, well, you know, so I think if they ever went back, she could come out of retirement. You know, these MMA retirements never last. But and to be honest, I was kind of joking about it like earlier this week with someone. I was just like, well, you know, she's saying she retired, but she said that after her last fight too. Like, she's like, take me out of the rankings, I'm retired, and then it comes back. So out of 10, what would you give the card?
A 7.
Yeah. I think for me, maybe an 8, but honestly, it looked like a 10 on paper. I don't think it played out that way. You know, it was a good card, but not like one of the best cards of all time, which it could have been. I will say too, I think, you know, I understand they can't all be 5-round fights, but I think, you know, Peter Yan and Song Yadong should have been a 5-round fight on another card. I think that would have been a better fight for 5 rounds because the other fights got closer. I think we saw the better fighter win in those fights, but in that fight, man, I know Peter Yan's the better fighter. He won the fight, but I'm just saying, like, it was a close decision. It would have been nice to see 2 extra rounds for that fight. That's all. So, before Marcus asks, I know he's going to ask, he's in the chat, whose stock went down the most on this card? Benoit, you think?
I think Vera as well, to be honest.
I think Holland too. Fuck.
Yeah, Holland too.
Because Holland's he's going to be out of the rankings. Also, you know what? Actually, Jailton Almeida. It's got to be Jailton. You know, all these guys. I mean, there's a lot of fighters that really had their stocks drop, I think, on this card. Oh, I'm so sorry, guys, by the way. I completely skipped one of the fights. I skipped the Kyler Phillips Pedro Munhoz fight.
I didn't even know.
There's so many fights. My bad. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, Kyler looked great. I mean, we've liked him for a long time on this podcast, right? We both liked him. And to be honest with you, he beat Pedro more convincingly than Cheeto did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he looked amazing. This was actually, I think, I know he didn't finish the fight, Marcel, but I think it was his best performance. He's 6-1 in the UFC. He has a win over Song Yadong. The Rowley and Pyatt fight, that should have been a draw. That was a clear 10-8 round in the first round. He gassed out. He's learned from that fight. It was 3 years ago. And Holly and Pyatt, he's not even in the UFC anymore. Kyler Phillips is, I think he's top 15, right? I think
he is.
Number no, he's not actually.
Oh, he's not. Oh, then he comes in. Okay.
Yeah, Pedro's 13, so he's gonna take over Pedro's spot. Yes. You know, I know someone was saying in the commentary, like, oh, Pedro's not gonna be top 15. I think he will. They're gonna bump Ricky Simone out of the top 15, I think. Probably, I would like to see him fight Jonathan Martinez, dude. I think that'd be a fun fight, man.
The problem with Phillips is that he doesn't fight regularly, and that's because he had those USADA suspensions twice, I think.
Yep. Once a year.
Once a year. So I think he's really good, but he has to fight more often. And he has to make at least he's not going to suspend it anymore by USADA because USADA's gone. But
I agree. Bob Baum would be a good fight too for him.
I like it as well. I think he's really good.
Yeah, he's good, no doubt. Actually, fuck. I mean, he could fight Cheeto. He could fight him, but I think Cheeto will get bigger fights. Kind of feel like so. Here's a good question. What do you think about Bo Nickel being above Charles in the main card? Listen, Bo Nickel and Cody Brunner shouldn't be in that card. I did see Cody's tweet today. He's like, hey, guys, I just work for the company. Like, it's not his fault, but I mean, he's, you know, that fight should not, it's kind of disrespectful to the other champions. At the same time, I will say this, like, they're looking to the future. Bo Nickel's going to be the middleweight champion in a couple of years, so they're trying to build him up, put him, all their eyes on him, but I it's disrespectful to have him on the card, don't you think, on the main card?
Of course. No, so
I know you're pissed about it, but I'm like,
listen, I'm not pissed about it, but I mean, I posted the card yesterday. You saw how many people that, like, 99% of the comments were about that fight being on the main card, you know, and rightly so, you know. There are former champions on the prelims and even on the early prelims, you know. Yep. So,
dude, I mean, I thought that last month they announced the card, I think it was 298, and it was like Cater and Sterling opened the card, and they had Yuri and, or maybe it was Yuri and Rakic. And I thought it was a 6-5 main card. I was like, oh, this makes sense. Then they changed it. And I'm like, what the fuck? So It is what it is. Also, they added Macano and Turner. Did you break that fight? Were you the one who broke
No, no, no. Freak no? MMA, bro.
They broke the news. I mean, that's an amazing fight, too, right? It's rebooking, I think. It's supposed to be main event, right? So,
yeah.
The card's stacked. I can't wait to talk about that one next month. quickly talk about the Nagano knockout. You saw that, obviously.
I think I told you, or I told somebody else, that I was thinking that Joshua would win the fight, and for the simple reason that Fury, we all saw Fury and Ngannou, and Joshua definitely was not going to let that happen to him, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, I think Joshua wins the fight. I didn't say he was going to knock him out or whatever, you know, but I was pretty much convinced that Joshua was going to win, and how he won, yeah, man, impressive, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's really quickly talk about go ahead.
Please. By the way, people who say Ngannou is stupid for doing the boxing, dude, he made $30 million in two fights. I mean,
I don't think you're stupid at all.
No, Dana, of course not.
Saying that. Dana was talking a little bit of shit, obviously. Just really quickly, I wanted to get your thoughts on the PFL card. I to be honest with you, I forgot it was on at that time, and I just caught the last couple of fights. But I really want to quickly talk about the main event, guys. Just Baki and Doumbé, yeah, because Doumbé, you had a lot of like Sean Sheehan type accounts on Twitter just saying, "Oh, the rules say this," and it bothered me because this is not something that's in the rules. Quite frankly, it's something that got overlooked in the rules. I think it should be a clear no contest. I think Goddard was in such a rush to stop the fight because he thought maybe his toe was broken. It seemed like it, but he had fucking glass in his toe. You clearly saw it in the broadcast. And a lot of people are like, oh, he should have fought through it. And, you know, John Jones fought through a broken toe against Chael. I get that. But here's the other thing. Here's the other side of the coin. What if he did fight with it and then he fucking kicked Baki and it hit his eye? Remember when Katsugano fought Megan Anderson? Kicked him in the eye? What if he kicked him in the eye and he sliced his eye open? He lost his eye. He had glass in the eye. What if he kicked him and he put his arm up and it sliced his fucking artery and he fucking started bleeding everywhere? Then what? Then what? So I think that people are not really thinking properly about this one. To me, Marcel, this is the most clear no contest you'll ever see overturned on the appeal. I mean, this is a clear overturn, I think. What do you think?
I don't know if they're going to overturn it, man. I mean, I don't know, because there are no rules for it, I think. That's the thing. They're really going to go by the rules always. So I don't know, man. Just rebook the fight and we good. Yeah. You know, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, it wasn't a great fight. You know, first round was for Baki. He took him down and he pretty much controlled him when he took him down. Second round was for Doumbé, much better striking. Third round, I mean, like I said, man, with Doumbé, he's a fun striker, but I think when he fights the better guys, he's going to crumble. That's what I really think. That's my
opinion. Fair enough. I mean, go ahead.
Did you see that that Gurgua guy, which got knocked out? That's.
I mean, that all seemed fixed to me, man. I gotta be honest with you. Like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
He's a weird guy. He fought in the Netherlands over here as well, And he was actually winning the fight. He was like ground and pounding the guy, and he got frustrated that he didn't get to finish him, so he started to soccer kick him. So and he got DQ'd.
Yeah, he's up to a strange dude. Yeah, I know. By the way, this is interesting too. One of his cornering placed the glass. I mean, fuck, who knows? Like, where did the glass come from? Probably not. But I'm just saying, what's to stop a cornerman from doing it though? If they don't see it on camera, what's to stop it?
Yeah, Molly McCann replied on her PFL thing. She was like, "How do you can get glass in your food?" I was like, "Listen, if there is somebody somewhere in the arena drops like a bottle or," and she's like, "There are no bottles."
There shouldn't be,
but who knows, you know? And you drop the bottle and some corner man stepping on it, you know, during the walkout, and it comes in the cage. Everybody's walking in the cage.
Well, that's the thing, in MMA, you know, in boxing it's different because you're wearing shoes when you fight, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about this, but in MMA you do, and it's one of those things where, you know, like you said, someone, you know, there's so many people that are in the cage and it's dirty on that mat. And they're supposed to clean the mats. Like, I don't think they did. Clearly, they didn't do a properly job. They did. I don't know. It's just one of those weird things. It's a weird thing, man. I just think there's no rule that covers it. And I feel like it should be overturned to no contest because it's like a foreign object. Like, what's stopping someone throwing a fucking bottle in the thing? They're going to keep fighting? Like, stupid. What do you think Doumbé would have done in UFC welterweight? I think he's interesting, but The takedown defense didn't look that good, you know, but the striking's good. I don't know. It wasn't that good of a fight, really, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Glenn says Goddard's ego made it much worse. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's just tough. Like, you can't take a timeout, but I think they can, too, at the same time. Because, you know, I was talking to Aaron Bronstetter, who, you know, loves the rules pretty well. Equipment malfunctions, you know, when the guy's like, hey, my tape is hanging off, they stop it. Or if, like, the woman's bra is hanging down sometimes, they stop it, right? They fix it. Or the cup is, you know, moved, they'll fix it. Why can't they say, like, hey, I got a piece of glass in my foot, let's pull it out? I don't know. It's weird. I think it's a shitty way to lose.
I agree.
It says TKO splinter on Tapology, doesn't it?
Does it not? I've do it, so I don't know, but probably.
Who did it? What's his name? What's the guy's name?
Al?
Steven?
Or Steve, yeah.
Splinter and foot. Toe injury, splinter and foot. What does Sherdog have? Let me see what Sherdog says. Sherdog says TKO toe injury. I mean, I guess it's a toe injury, but...
I got to tell you this one, man. I was at a Belgian event. A couple of years ago, and those two guys were fighting, and one of the coaches had jeans on, and you're not allowed to have jeans on as a coach. You have to wear sportswear or whatever. So the coach was coaching. So the ref was like, hey, dude, you can't coach. And the coach is like, why can't I coach? You have jeans on. You cannot coach, you know? So, but the guy kept coaching. And the ref was like, listen, if you keep coaching, I'm going to disqualify him. Okay. So then he kept coaching. He disqualifies the fighter. So that fighter has a DQ on his record by wardrobe malfunction by his coach.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I don't know, man. Anyways, let me get a couple more comments. We're going to get out of here in a sec. We'll start the new podcast. Pato came in late. He said, thoughts of new management company called 3027. That's a cool name for a company. They have RDA and Vertanian. I don't know much about it. I thought RDA was with Ali. Maybe switched, I guess. Yeah, the 1 hour difference. Anyways, you caught us at a good time because we're going to start the preview podcast for UFC Vegas 88. So I appreciate you guys jumping in late, but just give us a second here. I'm going to tweet out the new podcast. Just give me a sec, guys. We'll jump in and we'll start the new podcast. And just to answer Joe's question, he said it was a piece of glass. I thought it was a piece of wood. When they say splinter, I assume it's wood, but I mean, wood makes even less sense than glass. But the piece of fence, that's interesting too. All right, guys, just give us a sec. Just bear with us for a moment. I'll get the dog sound.